Good morning. We're live. Yes, live. I'm not joking with you. We're here live. It's October 28th. There's proof. Actually, let me make sure. Yes, it is October 28th. So yes, I'm not throwing you off. We've had some horrific audio issues the last couple days. It's prevented us from being on the air with you guys and gals for the last couple days. And it's been killing us. I tell you, we've been chomping at the bit to get on here. I'm excited. No video today, unfortunately. We solved the audio issues. The video will be back. So if you're tuning in and you're normally watching on Sportscaster, don't worry. Our beautiful faces, or at least mine and then Mike's beautiful image, will be back on the screen tomorrow. So without further ado, I got to let out a big, hearty, hefty...
La la la, we are back. We are back. It is good to be back here on FBC Radio Live. And, you know, it's one of those things. And I can honestly say, folks, my $3 internet was not the cause of the problems this time. It's amazing. I don't get a chance to say it often. Please don't take it away from me. No, I don't get a chance to say it that often. It was not my $3 internet. Just, you know, sometimes things happen beyond your control. But this great man here, he persevered. He got it. And we are back here midweek to get you through the work week. That's our job.
Forgot to unmute myself. No, I look, sometimes things happen, and this kind of threw a curveball at us. But hey, yeah, we hit it. Unlike the Rays last night, who lost, and who lost the World Series. Congratulations to the Dodgers, by the way. More specifically, Mookie Betts. And look, there's not often a time I'm going to say, oh, I'll root for the Dodgers. I wasn't necessarily rooting for them. But after what kind of transpired over the last couple of years, you know, against the Astros and... good for them, I guess. You know what I mean? Good for them. Los Angeles, congratulations. You know what it's like to be Boston now. Just a very, very brief, for a very brief moment, because this whole double championship thing is something that we're kind of used to. But hey, welcome to the club, guys. It's the first time this has happened where baseball, MLB, and NBA champion has reigned from the same city, and it just so happened to be the last time. Los Angeles as well. So good for them. 1988, long time. Still, Lakers suck though.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, that's a given. That's always a given. But, you know, there's a difference here with, you know, with the Lakers and the Dodgers. I mean, there's no question about it. There is the Mookie Betts connection. Also, the Dave Roberts connection here in Boston. And the Joe Kelly connection as well. Saw some vitriol thrown at Joe Kelly last night on social media. A little surprised at that. I mean, yeah, he left as a free agent, but he had every, you know, intention or every right to do so. And I don't understand why that's being held against him. But those are guys that I'm happy for in that organization. Clayton Kershaw as well, you know, paid his dues for a good long period. Good to see him get a ring. The Dodgers were the best team this year, and they deserve to be exactly where they are. But if I'm a Rays fan, I've given a name to my pain, and it is Kevin Cash. But I got to get your take on this. Blake Snell being pulled despite dealing last night, and really, I think, pitching an amazing game. They even grabbed Mookie after the game to try to get a little bit of a post-game. You know, it's just, it's one of those, just one of those things that I just don't understand what Kevin was thinking. You know, Mookie seemed a little bit surprised by it as well, that they would have. What were your thoughts when you saw Kevin Cash come out and take out Blake Snell? Did you think that there was, you know, any chance that what happened is exactly what would have happened, that the Dodgers would have used that as a rallying point to take home the World Series trophy?
Well, look, I mean, this is just an example of just overmanaging right here. I mean, what was it, 76 pitches, and you take out a guy who's dealing. And look, I mean, the Rays were struggling to score runs. And if you know anything about the Dodgers, you know that they score at least two runs every postseason game. So you're talking about a team that was inevitably probably going to score runs. So why are you taking out your best option? And, you know, it almost immediately bit them in the rear end. So, excuse me. That's certainly going to be something that's going to be questions, not only by the fans, I'm sure by some of the players and coaches too. And look, Kevin Cash will be the first one to probably say that, you know what, I'm probably going to have to reevaluate some of the decisions I made because, you know, let's face it. I mean, it was just a bad decision. There's no reason to take out your ace in that game with only 76 pitches. So, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, good for the Rays. I mean, it was a nice run that, you know, this is a team that's going to stick around for a while. We've seen that, you know, they compared to teams like the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Yankees, they work with one arm tied behind their back in terms of payroll and finances and everything like that. And, you know, they're a really good team, and they will be back. And if we know anything about baseball, it's a good chance they could keep it going. We've seen several teams have some lengthy runs, including the Dodgers, to the World Series over the last couple of years. So congratulations to the Dodgers. I'm sure we're going to find out more about, you know, the whole COVID a positive test that occurred. I just saw that this morning, so I was just kind of jumping into it. I know who was it? I'm completely blanking right now.
Tested positive. Turner, I believe.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Obviously, he tested positive, was out there celebrating without a mask. I mean, look, I who knows what's going to come of all this, and we'll see. I'm sure there's certain protocols this team is following, but it just kind of. I don't know. I mean, look, it's something that, you know, when we're thinking about it in the grand scheme of things, I mean, I don't think we expected, certainly after week one or day one or day two of the MLB season, I don't think we had all that confidence in the world that this season was going to finish, and it kind of finished right on time. So, I mean, I guess you got to give them credit for that. I handling that whole situation last night, we'll see what happens from there. But, yeah, it's crazy. Baseball. They got through it. Good for them, I guess, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They did get through it. I am, you know, I do have concerns just like anyone else would. I mean, you see Justin Turner out there return to the field at times not wearing a mask, and then you see at times he did have one on. It's bizarre. It really, really is, and it's just encapsulated to me the essence of what has been 2020 in the sports world. Just when you think there's a clearance, something happens to kind of make it all murky again. We've seen it in the NFL. We see it in Major League Baseball. Basketball and hockey were the anomalies because they chose to utilize the bubble model, and it worked. It worked very well. The players stayed safe, stayed healthy, and there were, you know, very few, if any, you know, breaches to any of those protocols. So it'll be interesting to see. Baseball, absolutely. They were able to get done. They were able to get done on time. You might as well say they even finished ahead of schedule. I mean, there have been times in the past where we've gone into November baseball, and those have been in regular seasons without pandemic stoppages or anything of that nature. November baseball has not been, taboo or off limits within the recent, World Series that we've seen. So for them to finish out prior to November 1st, considering everything they went through, it is. It's a pretty amazing feat for all the stuff that that Manfred went through this year. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, this year. I know a lot of people are trying to put the asterisk on the Dodgers season. I don't buy into that. These championships count. We've talked about this before. As much as it pains me, the Lakers title counts, folks. Tampa Bay's title and, the NHL, their Stanley Cup championship counts. This counts as well, as will the Super Bowl champion this year, probably most so for the Super Bowl because the NFL has continued to follow their season right along with just a couple of hiccups. So an interesting end to the Major League Baseball season, and congratulations to the Dodgers. They were the most deserving team.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. I mean, all these teams are on the same level playing field. And, you got to deal with the circumstances in which you dealt with, and, you know, it is what it is. So congratulations to the Dodgers. That's not the only thing I feel like, again, it's been 84 years since we've been online, and I brought a Titanic meme to life there. But that's what it kind of feels like since we've been on air, because so many things have happened. So many things. Let's put it this way. I think Okay, let's get to an NFL mode here, because I'm looking over my notes, but it's notes from literally the last 3 days or last three shows that we were preparing for. So it's literally a cluster F of nonsense. But the few things that really stick out to me: one, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team in football. They may not have the best record right now, but that defense. And boy, let me tell you, that quarterback, he's pretty damn good, Mike. And I wrote something the other day, and the premise and the whole focus of the piece was to say, hey, Russell Wilson's still the favorite for MVP. No one's doubting that. His case did take a hit the other night, no doubt about it. But despite him being the favorite, it's not his to lose. And the point that I was making was, and I feel like not too many other people are making, and not surprisingly, because no one's gonna go out of their way to give Tom Brady credit. I mean, the guy's done enough. The Buccaneers at this point, a year ago, with, I'm not gonna say exactly the same team, because no team is the same year to year, but for the most part, aside from the addition of Antoine Winfield on the defense, and that's a big one. I'm not going to downplay that one. He's a rookie, but it's still a big addition. And the addition of Tristan Wirfs on the offensive line, another rookie. Not downplaying it. Still a very good addition. And, you know, go ahead. Throw in Rob Gronkowski, but I'm going to sit here and say I heard too many, oh, he's just a washed-up Rob Gronkowski heading into the season, so I'm not going to give you credit for that. Aside from that, you're talking about essentially the same personnel groupings on both sides of the ball. And the Tampa Bay defense last year, you know, and this is something we've obviously, and this is predictable too. Oh, well, of course, he has a top 10 defense. Yeah, top 10 defenses. Okay, do you know at least 9 top 10 defenses every year don't win Super Bowls? At least? It's guaranteed, you know, Mike. But anyways, this defense was good last year. These offensive players, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, O.J. Howard was here, but obviously he's on injured reserve now. Cameron Brait, Ronald Jones. These guys were here a year ago, and they were 2-5. 2-5. The quarterback production was much worse. 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. A passer rating just barely hitting 80, which, again, take what, you know, use passer rating to your own discretion and, you know, use it the way you want. But, you know, that's a significant change from what Tom's is right now, which is over 100. And of course, you know, again, the just everything about this team right now is night and day from this point last year. So the big point being, if at the end of the season, if Tom continues on this pace of production, let's say, and he hits between, say, 37 and 40 touchdowns. He's on pace for 41 right now. And this team goes from 7-9 to 13-3. How can you not say he's the most valuable player to any team in the league? I don't care what anyone else does. Anyone else, short of going undefeated and throwing 85 touchdowns, again, which isn't realistic unless Ben Roethlisberger has a great 10 games, which, again, I'm imagining it's not going to happen. Think about it, though. How can you not say that that is not the definition of most valuable player? To take a team that not only was a 7-9 and not even mentioned in the playoff race at all last year, not only that, but a team that literally has the worst winning percentage in all of sports. Not just football, all of sports, to overnight turn that team into a Super Bowl contender and only take 7 weeks to make a great case to be the best team in the NFL. And your biggest change was at the quarterback position? Sign me up. Tom Brady's the MVP. And again, if this continues like this on this pace, and you're adding a certain wide receiver that we've never talked about on this show, something tells me that that pace is going to continue, if not get better. And this is going to be a slam dunk win for him at the end of the year. So,
Yeah, I mean, I would be hard-pressed to argue, and I don't argue with you because I agree with you. Look, you can't deny the impact that Tom Brady has had on this team. There's no question about it. He changes the culture. We've seen him do it for two decades here in New England. He takes players that have talent. There's no question about it. I know a lot of people want to point to, oh, well, he's got the weapons around him. Oh, well, look at that lineup. Oh, well, anybody can win with that lineup. I can go.
Not Jameis Winston.
I can throw passes to Mike Evans. Well, there you go. I mean, there it is. I mean, there's, you know, and you look at the additions. I'm glad you mentioned, yeah, the addition of Tristan Wirfs, the addition of Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, nice pieces, definitely. But Tom is getting it done with the guys that were in Tampa Bay last year as well. He's developed very good rapport with guys like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller. I mean, that's one of his new favorite, targets. These guys are doing, he's doing very well with the rookies. And, you know, I thought Tom didn't want to throw to rookies. I thought he didn't like throwing to rookie wide receivers. I thought rookies in first years, oh, yeah, that's not Tom's thing. Tom wants veterans. He wants grizzled old veterans. That was a narrative we heard up here for so long, right? Yeah, garbage. Yeah. All right. So anyway, back to what I was trying to say originally, buddy. His impact on this team is not only felt by what he does on the field, it's the culture that he brings with him. It's the attitude that he brings with him. It's that infectious nature of the way he leads his team that gets people to rally around him. One of the things that you hear so often with former teammates of Brady here in New England is how he just never quit. He never said die. He always felt that there was a chance to win games. And those are the guys that excel in this game. And that's exactly why you're seeing that. Tampa Bay right now, they are the most formidable team in the NFL, in my opinion. A great offense when you talk about the ability to beat you in so many different ways. I think their offensive line improves each and every week. They're getting much more disciplined. They're getting better at being able to control penalties. Their defense is something that does get a good amount of press. I think it should even be getting more. I think their defense is phenomenal this year. One of the best in the league, maybe arguably the best in the league. And you can't argue with that. You really can't argue with the point. So anybody that's trying to is either just trying to convince themselves that Brady is not good anymore, sticking to an asinine, dumbass narrative to support a signal that you're getting somewhere from hell on the steel plate in your head, Parker. And, you know, a lot of people, will just buy into that. But use your eyes, use your common sense. Even Brady detractors, even guys that absolutely have made a living out of trashing this guy. I'm looking at Chris Sims. I'm looking at, you know, guys like, Max Kellerman. I'm looking at even guys like Nick Wright have begrudgingly had to give.
Nah, I'm not giving Nick any credit because Nick's an idiot. Okay. So Max Kellerman, I'm not going to give him too much credit either because again, when you finally come walking
well,
through the door.
I didn't say they loved to do it. But.
Well, I'm not going to give him credit for finally, after 5 years of being wrong, begrudgingly coming through. And I mean, good for him for saying like he was wrong and just saying it and not dancing around the subject. But look, Nick, and this is how you can tell that none of these guys really watch Tom. When you sit there and see these guys say, oh, that's the best I've seen him throw the ball in 2 years. I'm like, no, it's not. He was doing this last year. It was just look at the situations and I'm not trying to, bring in too much of what's going on with the Patriots right now. But when I make the case for Tom and Tampa Bay, look at the flip side. Well, the Patriots offensive side of the ball is essentially the same as it was last year. And we're seeing a huge difference. And in hindsight, for those out here who said, oh, you know, Tom's falling off the cliff, he's a bottom third quarterback, guess what? That stat line that wasn't really that bad to begin with is looking a whole hell of a lot better considering what's happening right now with the Patriots offense. And I think some people, reasonable people, will appreciate that and actually look at that and be like, okay, you know, maybe we were a little off. Guys like Nick Wright won't, because he'll sit there and give some backhanded compliment and then sit here and say he's still not one of the 8 or 9 best quarterbacks in the league. Are you effing kidding me? I mean, not only is that just like objectively not true. I mean, it's not even okay. That's your opinion. Great. Awesome. The guy's second in the league in total touchdowns with 20, you know, 18 passing, 2 rushing. I think he's fifth in the league in passing yards. And again, we're talking about a difference of about 300 yards from number one to Tom. So we're, you know, it's not really a big difference. And again, every single stat that comes out, deep ball passing, accuracy, all this stuff, Tom's at the top of the list. So not only is it factually incorrect to say he's not one of the 8 or 9 best quarterbacks, it's just buffoonery. It really is, because like I can make a far better case that he's still the best quarterback in the league. I don't want to hear about Patrick Mahomes. Who cares about Patrick Mahomes? He's kind of getting, you know, down to the level that he's been at for a while now. It's not 2018. Russell Wilson's playing great. I can't argue that. If you're going to ask me one game right now, who you taking him? I'm taking Tom, and that's I'm not going to hesitate. I'll take him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and 3 times on Sunday. Actually, 6 times, because he's won Super Bowls 6 times on Sunday. So yeah, I mean, it's silly to sit there and keep this like charade up, because you just look like an idiot. I mean, it really, that's what it is. I mean, and we're seeing it. It's predictable, Mike. You already kind of mentioned it. People are now going, oh well, look, he has weapons. Well. I mean, didn't you spend the whole offseason saying, oh, we're going to find out if he's a system quarterback or not, and now that he's actually producing, they're like, oh, well, of course anyone could do that. Well, no, anyone can't do that. We saw Jameis Winston, a first overall pick, a young quarterback, come in and not produce. And when I say produce, I mean win. Producing isn't just about putting up numbers. It's about winning and being successful. Throwing a bunch of yards doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. So to me, I think, I've been training for this victory lap for quite some time. And it's coming, it's coming, and it's already starting to come to fruition, because everything, and this is a bit of a reassurance for me, Mike. And, I'll tell you why, because there were times where I thought maybe I'm just delusional. Maybe I'm just seeing things that just don't exist. Maybe my fandom has just taken over. My obsession with Tom Brady has just taken over. No, I'm being vindicated here, Mike. Vindicated, because what I'm seeing is the same thing I've been seeing. I saw last year. The guy still has an arm. The guy can still throw the ball. But when you're in a situation like the Patriots were last year and are currently right now, you can see they have probably one of the worst offensive personnel groupings of the entire league. It's just there's certain things that just aren't fitting right. That's not a knock on Bill Belichick. They tried. I mean, it just didn't work out for them. So now they're in this situation, and good for Tom. He's 43 years old, and he's literally, in my opinion, like I said, the MVP award is his to lose. Right now, I think it's a 3-man race between him, Russ, and Aaron Rodgers, and good for the old guys. I'm happy for the old guys. I know you can appreciate that, Mike.
Absolutely. Old guys rule. And, you know, bottom line with Tom and what you're seeing, we did see this last year. And I tried to say this ad nauseum on Locked On Patriots last year, each and every week. And I was slammed for it repeatedly from Patriots fans, from mostly everyone else in the NFL universe that just wanted to tell me that I was hanging on. I was just, you know, I was clinging to old memories. I was watching things with a Foxborough filter. And believe me, I got it all. And I kept telling everyone, no, the problem is not Tom's arm. The problem is not his footwork. It's not his decision making. It's not anything to that effect. This problem to him was the fact that he just wasn't on the same page as his receivers. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, that has to do with your supporting cast and the people that are around you. And I know a lot of people don't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say real quick, to your point. One of the things when asked, like, you know, this is a regular exercise of mine last year and during the offseason, when people are like, oh, he's declining, his age has finally caught up to him. My question would be, okay, without using stats, and people are like, oh, what are you talking about? No, without using stats, what about his game do you see being impacted by his age? And people would always come back with some sort of stat. I'd be like, no. Tell me what you see from his game. Is his arm wobbly? Is his legs out of place? And like, no one could ever have an answer. And again, that's because they didn't have one. There was none. Because his mechanics were fine. His arm was fine. It was just the situation. So go ahead. Sorry, Mike.
Absolutely. And again, it's drinking the sand. You want to see Brady struggled last year by his own standards because of all the situation that was around him, but they didn't want to see why. They didn't want to actually stop to take the time to evaluate why it wasn't working out with Tom. They just liked seeing him fall flat on his face. And it didn't matter how it was happening. As long as Tom was not winning at the same clip that he normally did, not putting up the gaudy numbers, finding difficulty getting a synergy with his receivers, it was going to be Tom's fault, and it was going to be the old man falling off a cliff. That's it. He's done, washed, noodle arm, all that garbage that ended up being disproven. That's exactly what happened. Going into Tampa Bay has been a revitalization for Tom, and he looks as good, if not better, than he has in a number of years. And he looked great at the end of his tenure in New England.
Yeah.
This is not a Roger Clemens situation where all of a sudden, I heard that comparison the other day too, and I nearly hit the roof. Oh, look, this is a Roger Clemens situation. He was terrible at the end of Boston, shot his way out of town, goes to a new team, and now he's out to prove something.
No.
You know, yeah. And then you get the wink winks and the nods and all that. Well, look how Clemens did it. Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. If you're clinging to that, if you're going to start making those arguments, yeah, you got mashed potatoes in the head. I'm sorry. That's really, really what it comes down to. Use your eyes. Use your common sense. Brady's doing this, and he's doing it very well. And I agree with you on the MVP race. I do think it's his to lose. And I know we're probably going to anger a lot of people and go, oh, yeah, what a big surprise. There are the two homers again. Well, first of all, last I checked, Tom's not playing up in New England anymore. We got our own problems up here in New England. We don't need to worry about what Tom's doing down there. But if you just look at it objectively, what he's doing and the way he's resurrecting this team that was a sub 500 team last year to the heights that they're going to now, with adding bit pieces here and there, but really this has been the Brady effect on this club. So you've got to give credit where credit is due. That is no way any way diminishing the season that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are having. I agree with you; they're right there in the conversation. But if things keep trending exactly the way they are, it's going to be hard for them not to give the crown to Tom Brady, because you are looking at two teams in Seattle and Green Bay that had deep runs into the playoffs last year. So you can't ignore that. Tampa Bay was a non-playoff team, and Brady's presence almost alone has really helped to elevate them to heights that we haven't seen this team in a while.
Well,
so,
again,
I think you make a good argument.
Add in the fact that, you know, there was no preseason too. I mean, you know, I think we went into this thinking, okay, teams that have obviously been together, you know, are going to have a little bit of an advantage because, you know, there's some familiarity to each other. Obviously, Tom, that was part of the challenge, was coming into a new team without training camp, without the ability to really get comfortable with your team. And you know, we saw the first couple weeks, and this was kind of expected. And I talked about this before. We saw them just look out of sorts at times, and things didn't quite, you know, pan out, and he threw a couple interceptions. Well, in his last, six games, I think it is, he's only thrown two picks, 15-1 in his last five, touchdown to interception. So he's, you know, again, just not his best start. Again, that's not a knock, because, I mean, he's had a start where he's thrown 27 touchdowns to two interceptions in the first seven games. We all remember 2007. That was quite the run there early on. But, you know, he's playing as good as ever. And, you know, I know people at the end of the day are going to reshape the narrative, because obviously he is getting another wide receiver, Antonio Brown, signed a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I know people at the end of the year are going to be like, oh, of course he had these weapons. Well, no, it's more about that, because, again, we saw Jameis Winston with quite a number of weapons last year. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers team isn't that drastically different. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make. The biggest difference and the most significant difference comes at the quarterback position, which just happens to be the most important position in football. And it's on top of that, he's just having a really good season. And, I mean, if you're a stat head, well, guess what? The stats back it up, too. So it's going to be fun to see that play out. Yesterday, though, or the other day, they did sign Antonio Brown. Now, again, I think for over an entire calendar year, we've we've been living and dying with the Antonio Brown saga, first with the Patriots, and then, you know, obviously now as he gets prepared to end his suspension here, it's official. He's going to Tampa. And as much as it shocked me, it really didn't. I mean, I know all that stuff Bruce Arians said and you know, what he said recently about, oh, no, this wasn't a Tom. This was a Tom Brady decision. This was 100% Tom Brady. We both know that there's this infatuation with one another between Brown and Brady. They on the football field, whatever, they have this connection. They have this friendship that, you know, has really gone above and beyond to be put in public, especially from Brown's you know, perspective. If you remember at the turn of the year, when the seasons were over and he was obviously off a football team, he said, you know, I only want to play with Tom Brady. Well, guess what? He's going to be playing with Tom Brady. And I know people are hesitant, and I understand that. I get it. I understand why people may not want him on the team. I mean, he was on three different teams last year at one point. Got, you know, left the Steelers, got traded from the Steelers to the Raiders, got cut from the Raiders to the Patriots, and then got cut from the Patriots. So there's clearly risk here involved. Far less risk for the Bucs, considering the contract that they gave him, as opposed to what the Patriots did last year. I happen to think, and this is consistent with how I've felt about him the entire time, that I don't think he's going to be a locker room issue. It's the outside of football issue. And in that case, and in that sense, when's the last time he was in the news for something outrageous? And I know that sounds ridiculous. Oh, well, it's only been 9 months. Well, considering what he was going through at the end of last year, where it was every other day it felt like something new was coming into the news. Maybe that was just, I don't know, motivation on the media's part. But no, I mean, he was getting himself involved in many other things. He's been relatively quiet. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, he deserves a second chance. I mean, again, if some of the things that he's been accused of turn out to be true, then, you know, I don't, you know, want to see him on a football field ever again. But right now, I mean, that process is still playing out. And how I explain it, or how I explained it last year when it came to the Patriots and my hope that they would re-engage with him, was he averaged 114 catches, 1,500 yards, and 11 touchdowns over 6 seasons, not just one season, not 2 seasons, 6 seasons. He averaged that. That streak ended last year because he only played in one game. But even in that one game, we saw what could be between a Brady and Brown connection. I think from a Buccaneer standpoint, I know, you know, at the time of the signing, yes, the wide receiver position was their strength. We learned yesterday that Chris Godwin had surgery on a broken finger that he broke in this past Sunday's game, and Mike Evans has been dealing with a knee issue. So this team isn't completely healthy. Obviously, I think this is more about just situation, timing, and situation when it comes to Brown. Not necessarily a luxury, because I do think that his presence is going to eventually be a necessity for this team. But at the end of the day, his talent alone makes this team better. I don't anticipate any sort of locker room issue with him. If there is, I don't think he's going to be there long. And I don't think you're going to see him act out if he doesn't necessarily get the ball because of Tom Brady's presence. And I know that can be overstated sometimes and be like, oh, Tom Brady's not a god. Well, he seems to be when it comes to Antonio Brown. And we know that he didn't get cut for football reasons. By all accounts, Antonio Brown was quite liked within the Patriots locker room, even in that short time that he was there. So, I anticipate this being a good thing for the Bucs. I do think this is just the right situation. I mean, considering all the circumstances, Antonio Brown's available. He wants to play for the Buccaneers. You have a quarterback in Tom Brady. You're a Super Bowl contender. Like I said, it didn't take long for them to become one of the best teams in the NFL. So I like the move. I love the move. I think it's going to work out. I think it's certainly going to last longer than 11 days, like his tenure with the Patriots. And I'll be honest, I think they're going to absolutely shred the Saints apart if he's on the field when they meet in 2 weeks. So
Yeah, I mean, look, purely from a football standpoint, folks, and I'm talking pure football, this is a no-brainer. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are looking at it and going, oh, well, if you take a look at just from a football standpoint, they have a ton of receivers. They have a ton of help. This is not the most pressing need. They could have used a little more help on defense, maybe another offensive lineman. You have an opportunity to add an explosive playmaker like Antonio Brown that can play on the outside. He can play in the slot. He's so versatile when it comes to his talent groupings. It's really is. It's a no-brainer about whether or not you'd want this guy on your team from a pure football standpoint. Now, again, unfortunately, for the last couple of years, it has not been from a pure football standpoint when it comes to Antonio Brown. There have been off-season issues. There have been off-the-field issues. Off-season issues, let me just clarify what I mean by that. That's the tumults that you saw in Pittsburgh that ultimately drove him out of Pittsburgh into Oakland, and there were problems there in the offseason where he was coming into training camp, the whole ice on the feed and all that stuff. I mean, you know, it's there have been a lot of things that happened. Then you go in and you take a look at what's happening in New England. He signs here in New England, absolutely lights it up with Brady from the moment he steps on the field, and then you start to see the news stories come out. And again, folks, we're both saying, Ian and I have both said several times that if any shred of what he's been accused of ends up being true and ends up being proven, he doesn't belong anywhere on a football field ever again. There's no question about it. No one is condoning that. No one would ever condone that. But the process is still ongoing. And whether I agree with it personally or whether I don't agree with it personally, he has the right to be on a football field from that standpoint. So the Bucs are making this move. I totally agree with you when it comes to Tom Brady. I know Bruce Arians is trying to deflect the pressure from his players, and as he should. I think he's doing a fine job in trying to do that, even though it's as transparent as you could possibly believe. Everyone knows that Brady definitely had a hand in bringing this guy to Tampa Bay. There has been a desire for these two guys to play on the same field with one another for an extended period of time. I think that moment that you saw last year when it came to these two hooking up on the field in Miami and looking great, and then never having that chance again really hurt the psyche of both of these players. And I think the Patriots season would have looked a lot different last year if Antonio Brown had remained. We've talked about this several times. I don't think he could remain because of everything that went on around. There was no way they could have kept that together. The sharks were swimming, and there was no way they were going to let Antonio Brown finish that season in New England. There was a determination to take him off of that team, and ultimately those that wanted it got what they wished. And, you know, they can write all the pieces and all the journalistic and hide behind all the journalistic integrity that they wanted. There was a definite, clear, in my opinion, agenda. And they pursued it and they got it. But ultimately, we'll see. We'll see what happens down in Tampa. He's going to have to keep his act together. I do believe he will. I think that is the hallmark of what Tom Brady does to a guy like Antonio Brown. And really, I think in a locker room in general, I think guys will toe the line knowing that Brady is going to be their signal caller and the guy that they're going to be answering to. One question I have throughout all this is I'm looking at all the publicity about Antonio Brown signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and all of the stock photos that they're using. Antonio Brown played one game with the New England Patriots. Why does every stock photo you see include Antonio Brown in a Patriots uniform? He's a pariah when it comes to a lot of people. He is a very polarizing figure. Strong feelings on him one way or another. Look, there's no question about it. Those who have a predereliction toward Antonio Brown about certain reasons and they feel a certain way about him, I have no basis to argue that point. You have every right to feel the way you feel. Those that want to go ahead and defend him, well, you can always definitely put back on the fact that he hasn't been criminally, you know, accused or charged with any of these matters. So I think there is gray area, but I can definitely understand the vitriol. I just want to know why someone as polarizing as Antonio Brown is never showed in a stock photo during his time with the Steelers, which is really where he is. If I think of Antonio Brown, I think of him as a former Steeler. You shouldn't be thinking of him as a former Patriot, but no. That uniform just wants people to, they want to, you know, vilify the uniform, vilify that Flying Elvis logo. That surprises me a little bit, is the rush to make him former Patriot, former Patriot. That's, whereas if he were probably, you know, more of a straight and narrow citizen, I think he'd probably be former Steeler. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, you can also see the difference in coverage, too. You remember when he signed with the Patriots, and it was just an all-out blitz from the media attack the signing. And you're not seeing that as much towards this version of it. But, you know, again, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out on the field. So, you know, we will certainly watch with a very, very keen eye. I think we're gonna wrap up right now. We're going to cut it short a little early. I do have some people here apparently that have to do work on my apartment. So tomorrow, Thursday, we're going to kind of refocus. We're going to touch on some of the things that we did not touch on yesterday and or today or in the last couple days. And we'll start previewing week 8 because there's going to be a lot of big time matchups. And we'll talk about how we can fix the Patriots, because I know you're probably going to be talking about that at some point later today. So, folks, thank you for being patient with us the last several days. Thank you for hanging with us as we try to figure out all these audio issues. And we look forward to being back on Sportscaster tomorrow and, of course, here on Full Press Radio. So give us a follow at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio, at IGLEN31. One is my handle, and of course, give my buddy Mr. Mike DeBay a follow at MDABATEFPC. Have a great day, folks, and we will talk to you tomorrow.